Eugene Ionesco, 1909 to 1994. He was one of the foremost playwrights of the theatre of Habsburg. Born in Romania, but later he moved to France and studied French literature. His plays have been characterized as anti-plays. Why anti-plays? Because it combines a dream or nightmare atmosphere with grotesque, bizarre, and whimsical humor. And how he got the ideas of anti-plays? Because from his childhood, he hated realistic plays. He believed that realistic plays is not providing interactive experience, and that's the reason later when he became a dramatist, he followed anti-plays. These anti-plays break the conventions of naturalistic theatre and present paradigms of human condition. There are six plays of Eugene Ionesco. The first one is The Bal Soprano, Sopranor. It is the first play and it satirizes the deadlines and idiocy of the daily life of a middle-class society frozen in meaningless formalities. That is, he believes that there is no meaning in the daily life of a middle-class family. The plot involves two families, the Smiths and the Martin family. The two families engage in meaningless banter, telling stories and relating nonsensical poems. The second play is The Lesson. It is a one-act play. The play is regarded as an important work in the theatre of Habsburg. The play takes place in the office and dining room of a small French flat. It's all about a professor, and the professor is in the age of 50 to 60 and is expecting the new batch of students to come. The students are in the age group of 18. The professor's mate, a stout, red-faced woman of 40 to 50, worries about the professor's health. The professor delivers absurd and nonsensical lessons and grows more and more angry with what he perceives as a pupil's ignorance. That is, he believed that his students are stupid, and he became more and more, and the students became more and more quiet and meek. The professor's health begins to deteriorate because of his anxiety, and what starts as a toothache develops into an entire body aching. At the climax of the play, after a long bout of non-sequiturs, sequiturs means where the arguments and events are not in logical order, the professor stabs and murders the pupil. The play ends with the maid greeting a new batch of students, taking the play full circle back to the beginning. The third play is The Chairs, published or staged in the year 1952. It is an absurdist tragic farce play by Eugene Ionesco. The play starts with an old man and a woman in their 90s, and they are referred to as man and woman in the plot. And they are on the play is on a semicircular stage in dim night. The man looks out the window upon a stool. The woman tells him to close the window. She says that she gets dizzy from being on their island house. She drags him over to the chairs and he sits down on her lap. She praises his intellect and said he could have had a powerful occupation if he had any ambition. He scoffs at this and complains of boredom. The woman asks the man to tell the story that begins, "Then at last we arrived." "Then at last we arrived" is the way the man is beginning the story. But this story was told to the old woman several times before, means all through the night, means every night of the 75 years of their marriage life. She says she takes a dose of salt each night to erase her memory of the story. He tells the story and they repeat phrases from the story until the laughter dies down. The story has got a group of other characters. Now the old man and the woman, they are inviting a lot of guests. The first guest is Lady. Lady, the first invisible guest of the old man and the old woman, they engage in casual conversations with Lady. Then Colonel, the second invisible guest, and he is a famous soldier. The old woman rebukes him for spilling his cigarettes on the floor. And the third visitor is Emperor. The most esteemed invisible guest, the old man welcomes his Emperor. The Emperor is bathed in light, and the old man and the woman defer him at all times. Belly, the invisible former lover of the old man and the current wife of the photo engraver. Belly, B-E-L-L-E, Belly. The old man reminisces with Belly about their romantic past and appears to hold on to what could have been. Photo engraver, the husband of Belly. He gives old woman a painting when they arrive and she is much taken with him flirting with overt sexuality. Newspaper man and the other guest. The newspaper man and the other guest arrive at the inn. They are all eager to hear the orator who is going to deliver the old man's message. Orator, since old man cannot express himself well, the orator, who looks like a pompous 19th century artist, is scheduled to deliver the old man's message. He has an actor regal bearing and hands out autographs. Now the old man says that the orator will soon speak on his behalf about a system he has perfected. The orator addresses the crowd and makes it clear that he is deaf and dumb. He mumbles some unintelligible sounds, then gives up and writes several nonsense words on the blackboard. When he does not get the reaction he was hoping for, he leaves through the main door. That's the end of the story of Chair. The fourth play of Eugene Ionesco is Amédée, 1954. Amédée, A-M-E-D-E-E. The subtitle of this Amédée is How to Get Rid of It. The play is all about Amédée, who is a playwright, and his wife Madeleine, M-A-D-E-L-E-I-N-E. She was a switchboard operator. Both husband and wife, now they are discussing about a decomposed corpse which was kept in the next room. The corpse is causing mushrooms to sprout all over the apartment and is apparently arousing suspicion among the neighbors. The audience is given no clear reason why the corpse is there. At the end of the play, Amédée attempts to drag the corpse away to dump it in the river. He is seen by many passerby and one of the witnesses, Eugene Ionesco himself. When Amédée becomes tangled in the legs, the corpse floats away with Amédée attached. The fifth play of Eugene Ionesco is Rhinoceros, 1959. Rhinoceros is a three-act allegorical play and it is all about totalitarianism. The play is often referred as a response and criticism to the sudden upsurge of fascism and Nazism during the events preceding Second World War. The protagonist of this play is Beringer. He finds neither his work in an office nor the culture around him fulfilling. He feels alienated yet still confused why he has been displaced in the society. And he is unwilling to commit himself to anything in life. Jean, his friend, Beringer's friend, is a highly cultured, somewhat arrogant, an angry young man who prides himself on his rationality. He urges Beringer to be more like him. Now, Beringer and Jean, the play starts with Beringer and Jean. Both of them, they are having a drink. And now Jean upbraids Beringer for his addiction, for his drinking addiction and his aimlessness. Soon, a rhinoceros runs through the square, shocking all the townspeople with the exception of the indifferent Beringer. Because Beringer is having no emotion, so he don't feel anything strange about the rhinoceros passing them. Jean lectures Beringer about willpower, while a rational logician, that is the third character in this play, logician, he explains about the concept of syllogism to an old man. Beringer concedes that he has a crush on Daisy, a typist at his house, but he worries that she favored another person. That is, now Beringer is suspicious even with this love. Jean recommends willpower and cultural self-improvement to garner Daisy's affections and to improve his life in general. Another rhino passes by and this time the rhino tramples a cat. The townspeople debate whether or not it was the same rhino and what breed it was. Beringer and Jean get in a fight over the physical specifics of the rhino and Jean storms off after calling Beringer a drunkard person. The townspeople ask the logician to clear up the confusion, but his lengthy analysis makes no progress and these townspeople, they got really upset with the explanation given by the logician. Now Beringer is going to his office, meeting his co-workers, And he was getting into an argument with Botard, B-O-T-A-R-D. He's an old skeptic who doesn't believe in the rhinos. Beringer arrives late, but start to discuss about the rhino. Botard claims the illusory appearance of the rhino as an example of collective psychosis. That is, Botard believes that it is all about the psychological problem of the people around him, which made them to think that there are rhinoceros in the town. Beringer now comes up with a nightmare in his room, and he inspects himself for any pending rhino signs. Now Beringer starts to think he himself is turning out to be a rhino. Finally, he doubts humanity. He inspects photographs, and he removed all the photographs of his previous friends because he was not able to recognize them, and he hang his photograph with along with the other rhinoceros photograph. So he envies the bodies of the rhinoceros, but at the brink of desperation, he nevertheless decides that he will fight the rhino. At last he understood, like, he also won among the rhino, and there is no point of fighting against a rhino. The sixth play of Eugene Ionesco is Macbeth, M-A-C-B-E-T-T, 1972. It is a satire on Shakespeare's Macbeth, and the play was written during the Cold War. Ionesco Macbeth remolds Shakespeare's Macbeth into a comic tale of ambition, corruption, cowardice and excess, creating a tragic farce which takes human folly to its wildest extremes. That is, this play focuses on exposing the human follies. That's a satire on Shakespeare's Macbeth.